Earth, sky.
Process safety is how we manage our hazards and keep it in the pipes, the tanks, the vessels, so that it doesn't do any harm to people or the environment. It's not just a management responsibility. It is an individual responsibility. I am responsible for my peers and to make sure that they go home in the same condition or better condition than what they came to work in. And we try very hard from the top of the organization down to do that.
You're listening to Natalie Salter, a safety engineer with Shell, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science, with a special program in partnership with Shell. Salter is an expert on what's called process safety in the oil and gas industry. We're talking about hazards from potentially harmful events like fires and explosions. She spoke more with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Ms. Salter, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Now, tell us about process safety. What is process safety?
Process safety is how we manage our hazards and keep it in the pipes, the tanks, the vessels, so that it doesn't do any harm to people or the environment. So really what it's about is making sure that the design is correct from this time we think of a project or think of something that we want to do. We want to incorporate all the safety aspects that we know of into the design of the equipment that we're going to be putting out there. Then we also look at the operations of the facility. We want to make sure that the operators, the engineers, the technicians that are using the equipment understand the operating limits so that we don't have any releases of the gasoline, petrol material that we're passing through those pipes or pieces of equipment. And the maintenance, maintaining the integrity of the equipment, making sure that it can still hold the material long term so we don't have any corrosion or we don't have damage such as a backhoe hits it with a pipe and that type of thing. So we're really looking at all of the aspects of the design, the operation, and the maintenance of the facility.
Tell us about some of the ideas that go into process safety, something that Shell calls the bow tie model of managing risk, where on one side of the tie you have prevention. In the middle, you have a situation you want to avoid, like a fire. And on the other side, you have mitigation or response to that event.
Yeah, so this is a really systematic approach to looking at risk management. So we have our hazard, which is our gasoline. We produce gasoline, which inherently burns. That's what we want it to do. That's why your car goes or why your furnace works in your house or whatever. So we have a material that we know has some characteristics that could hurt people. So we want to manage that. So we look at all of the things that could go wrong, and we call those threats. And they're on our left-hand side of the bow tie. So you know what a bow tie looks like. You have a big thing on the left-hand side. You got a little knot in the center, which we would be the loss of containment or the fire or whatever. The bad situation is in the center. And then you have the right-hand side, which is all the things that you can do to prevent the major consequence from happening. And when you draw it on a piece of paper, it looks kind of like a bow tie, and that's why we call it a bow tie. So we have the hazard, like the gasoline. We have the center of the bow tie, like our loss of containment. So we've released gasoline to the environment. It may or may not find an ignition source, so you may have a fire or you just may have a spill to a river or something like this. And then on the right-hand side, we look at all of the things to mitigate the major consequence. So you may have a small fire that you don't want to become a large fire that can hurt people, or you might have a small leak that's a few drops and you want to prevent it from becoming a leak to the river where you might kill some fish. So what we do is we look at the left-hand side as prevention. So how do we keep it in the pipes where it belongs and make sure that the threat doesn't lead to the middle of the bow tie, the loss of containment? So for example, for a specific example, we'll go back to my tank and the threat would be overfill. So we've got a tank of a certain volume, we're feeding the material in and it may go over the top. What do we do to prevent that? So the first barrier is looking at a level gauge that will tell you how much material is in the tank. So it actually tells the operator, you know, where the level is in the tank. Is it low? Is it in the middle? Or is it high? then we typically would have a level alarm. So when it gets to a point where it's getting closer to the top and we need time to respond, we would alarm the operator and let him go to know that something's going on. With that, we have what we call critical activities and critical equipment. And a critical activity or task is what the operator has to do with that information. So, for example, with the high-level alarm, he may have 2 hours before he actually will overfill the tank. So within that 2 hours, he has to recognize the alarm and he has to shut down the pump maybe that's feeding it, or call the pipeline transfer company that's feeding it, or stop the ship from offloading the material so that he doesn't overfill it. So that's where we'd like it to be. We would like all of that to happen on the prevention side. But knowing Mr. Murphy, in English, the Murphy's Law often prevails. Sometimes all these things line up that we don't always catch it at that point. And then we may have the center of the bow tie called the loss of containment. And then we've had the overfill. So then we look at the right-hand side. What do we do to prevent that overfill from being a major fire, from getting into the river, those types of things? And all those different consequences are on the right-hand side of the bow tie. So if we're talking about the release to the river, we may have a dike or a bund around the tank so that we have a certain volume of material that can overfill and we have more time to recognize that we've had an issue and the operator can go and have some response. Then the second thing might be an emergency response team. So they may go and they may block the lines into the waterways or into the local surrounding areas. They may put up sandbags. They may do different things that prevents the actual material reaching outside of our fence line. And then hopefully with all of those things in the bow tie, so from the threat through the loss of containment to the consequence, we have a number of barriers or controls that stop that event from happening. And so we do that for each threat. So on the left-hand side, we would have overfill. We might have overpressure. We might have corrosion. We might have maintenance. We have different threats that could cause the loss of containment. And then on the right side, we have all of the consequences and how we manage it once it's actually outside of the pipe or tank that it's supposed to be in.
You know, I'm wondering, have you been involved in a situation like that where you're really called to really step up into a situation that you didn't expect? I'm just wondering, what does that feel like?
So yes, I have been involved. I worked at an operating facility for a lot of years, and I've been in situations where the good news is we've caught it on the left-hand side before we've gotten to the loss of containment. So as I am an engineer, and I used to be what we call a process engineer, or supporting the day-to-day operations of our facility. And you would often get in a situation where maybe you get a bit of overreaction in a plant and you get what we call a runaway. So we get a high temperature starting. And so the good news is we tend to have time and we have safeguards that tell us that we have time. So we get a certain period of time to react. And the training kicks in. You know, we've run through drills, we go through all the different scenarios, and the adrenaline starts, your training kicks in, and you immediately start troubleshooting. What can we do? How can we do it? When do we say enough is enough and we shut down safely? Our plants are built to give us, if we don't have time, often instrumentation takes over and shuts us down. Or if we do have time, we often get 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to make that assessment to see if we can do it in a better way or do it safely or get it back under control. So we have ways to manage it. And when you're in the situation, you go through those things very quickly and make your decision quite quickly and safely shut down the plant. If it happens before you can do those things or the safeguard doesn't kick in properly, because as we know, things go wrong, once you've had the loss of containment, I've also been there on the emergency response team. And the key thing is to keep people safe. You immediately put evacuation alarms in place. I've actually had to call the community line to tell them what's going on, to shelter in place. And, you know, the people will be informed as soon as we know more. We try to, as a company, to make sure that we keep our neighbors informed as well so that they know what's happening at the same time as we're trying to manage the situation. The good news for me is I've never been in a situation that we've had anybody seriously injured or hurt, or that we've done major environmental damage. We've had a lot of asset damage, but that's replaceable and that's okay. You know, we've managed the situation where it's okay to have to replace a few assets, but I'd much rather have that than to have someone hurt.
You've been listening to Natalie Salter, Discipline Team Lead of Process Technical Safety for Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.